This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news and intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversations. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
Good morning, Bahabs. This is The Urologist Speaks with Bahamian urologist Dr. Gregory Pinto. My usual co-host, Dr. Wesley Francis, unfortunately is involved in emergency surgery. I myself just finished operating not too long ago. But pleased again to have, by popular demand, and this is part two, continuing from last week where we had a very fascinating and interesting talk, Mr. Calvin Green, who is a veteran in the tourism arena. In industry, he's also a church leader, a youth leader, and a true Bahamian. Welcome, Calvin Green.
Well, thank you, Doc. Always a pleasure to be with you and discuss the issue, so thank you very much. Yes.
So here we have a very interesting talk, and I always think that we do. Every talk is interesting, but in particular, we're talking about what is happening with our nation. So the health of the nation is the wealth of the nation. We're here trying to uplift our nation in every way possible. And we're not just talking about the physical. We're talking about the emotional, the mental, and the spiritual. We have a very unhealthy nation in many ways. And we're trying to address everyone, every facet. We're trying to make our country whole again. And it's going to be a difficult task, but we're not going to throw up our hands and give up. If, as I always say, if there's even one little flicker of light, if enough of us come together, we can create a raging fire. And in the darkness, we can create a bright light that can hopefully find guidance for a very lost youth and a nation of men who have who are aimless. They have no future. They don't believe in tomorrow. They have no belief in themselves. So we're going to talk about a few issues today. We're going to talk about the fatherless crisis in the Bahamas, the loss of the nuclear family in our nation, and the physical, mental, emotional, and sexual abuse of our poor children. So we're going to discuss the profoundly, deeply lasting negative impact of the common lack of a father in the lives of not just boys. Obviously, boys have their problems, but also girls as well. And the statistics are alarming. We're going to get into that. And no baby was asked to be born. We can only pray that a baby born into the Bahamas is born to loving, committed parents bonded by love, by respect, by admiration, and the love of God, uniting them together. But unfortunately, this is rarely the case, and that's where the downfall of our nation and why we're going downhill. So babies, children are significantly shaped by their environment, and that may take the part of an absent father, a wayward father, an abusive father, an alcoholic father, an abusive mother, which also includes emotional abuse. Words can shape the future and very existence of our boys and girls. So there is a saying, behind every great successful man, you'll find a loving, supporting, uplifting woman. And the contrary can also be true. Behind a broken, defeated man is a woman who has devalued him, ridiculed him, berated him, emasculated him. And that woman may take the form of a mother-in-law, a wife, a girlfriend, a grandmother, a teacher. So someone in that man's life who convinced him that he was no good and was never going to amount to anything. And you always have to be mindful, women, that words can be more painful than even knives and bullets. What is going on with our nation, Mr. Calvin Green?
Well, the way how I would approach it is, and my thoughts coming into this is, and we know that the family is the stability of society. no family, no society, no country. So the family then becomes the building block of what we understand to be a nation and a country. And we cannot pretend to believe that in our country that you know that we have that building block, I should say, going the way it should be. We have so many problems, and we see that based on the way how we look at our young people, the way how they're developing, and we see their behavior, antisocial behavior. When you go into the schools and you talk to young boys between the ages of 8 or 12, and they say they have, you know, they haven't seen their father. They come to school in a way that they're not properly attired. Their hair is not trimmed, or their clothes is not clean. And these are all elements of what I call the family not being in good health. Mothers not doing what they're supposed to do. Fathers not doing what they're supposed to do. And so we have this young boy who comes to school, or this young girl, in a way that not befitting to come to school. Who's taking care of the home? And so we have to ask that question about the family. Where's the family heading? Where do we still have the days when family would sit around the table and discuss issues, or discuss anything that happened at school, or anything that happened in a child's life, or anything like that? And I don't think for the most part that happens anymore. Everybody pick up their food or whatever they want, and they go separately to their room, and the door is closed, and there are no healthy discussions.
We need to look at the statistics, and they're alarming, they're shocking. Let's do some analytics to put this in perspective. There's no debate that we're in a crisis, and the family is in a crisis, and we have a fatherless nation. In the United States, and these are studies looked at, about 23% of children of all races grow up in a single-parent home, and 80% of those, it's just a single mother. Compared to China, where only 3% of children are raised by a single parent. And in India, it's only 4% of children are brought up in a single-parent home. Worldwide, the average is 7% of children worldwide are brought up in a single-parent home. Now, let's look at the statistics in our beautiful Bahamas, our archipelago of islands. In the Bahamas, the incidence in 2020 was greater than 62% of children are born out of wedlock and grow up mostly raised by their mother. 62%. And we compare that with statistics in the Bahamas in 1975, it was 44%. So the trend is getting worse and worse decade by decade. And what is to blame? That is part of our discussion today. What is there to blame? There's an increasing and alarming loss of not just the nuclear family, where you have two parents, either by common law or legally married, raising one, two, three children, but the extended family, the support of the extended family, the grandparents, the aunts, the uncles, the cousins. We have a lack of unity within the family itself. And the result is often children unsupervised and pretty much raising themselves, or children raising their younger siblings, losing out on their own childhood, while their mothers often work double shifts or work two jobs just to make ends meet. And who, when these children leave to school from school, there's no one at home. When they wake up in the morning, times their mother's already left an hour before they even wake up. They have to get themselves dressed. They have to make sure that their homework is put in their bags. They need to get themselves to school. They're raising themselves. There's no supervision. There's no guidance.
Well, Dr. Miller, when I was growing up, we always had the grandmother. The grandmother was there. I mean, you know, when I came from school, I went to my grandmother's house, and she had food and everything prepared, and I could go there in the morning. We don't have that, what I call that bridge in there anymore of the grandparents, because the grandparents are just as old as the parents. Most of them, you know, they could go to the disco together and go out together, because the grandparents, there is no line in there where it's like the blind leading the blind. So the grandparents is not there where you can really leave your child, like when I was growing up and spend time, and my mom come and got me after she knocked off. I had my grandparents to go to. She fed me, she made sure that I was clean, and that it was ready when my mom came. So we have a catch line in there that I call it that's missing.
I mean, it goes back to children having children, the high rate of teenage pregnancy, which is also linked in studies. It goes back to young girls growing up without a father, without a father figure. Many of them look for relationships with much older men because they're trying to look for that father figure. And it happens over and over and over. And in generation after generation, we're losing our way, Bahamas. I mean, the home, even let's look at a home with a father there who is physically or emotionally abusive or emotionally absent or alcoholic or a drug user or a womanizer. Sweethearting is destroying the fabric of our society as well. Women having to tolerate the indignity of, in this small little island, let's not even talk about all the other islands, family islands. Let's talk about 21-by-7-mile island of New Providence, to know that your husband is going out with 3-4 other women, often having multiple families, and it just becomes part of our culture. How many of us are being honored or having legacy awards or being getting culture awards, and we look at them, and many of them have 3 or 4 families, or that the typical successful Bahamian man has 5 sweethearts, and the women tolerate it because there are, unfortunately, if particularly for educated professional women, they are outnumbering the men 7, 8, 9 to 1.
But you see, there's a gap in there, Doc, where what I wanted to bring up, where in our society now, I think that the women are a lot more progressive than the men. They're much more knowledgeable. They have, a lot of them have the better jobs. A lot of them earn higher wages. And so there's a gap in there where also, where you could say it from the Bible, where we have a lot of unequally yoked relationships. Because our women are so much more progressive than the men. All the men want to do is sit down, drink all day, have a good time while the women go to night school. They're better educated. They're moving up the corporate ladder. And so how do when the lady wants to talk about something that's much more concrete or something that would move them ahead in the future, and this guy can't even have a decent conversation?
An interesting U.S. study that I read recently found that the average teenager spends 44 hours watching TV or playing video games or on their phones or on their electronic devices in only 30 minutes out of an entire week speaking to their father. 30 minutes.
Wow.
And I mean, that's astounding. We have the technology advances, but we're losing the common touch. We're losing the personal, interpersonal relationships and interactions even within our own home. And dysfunctional, unhealthy families are leading to skyrocketing crime and youth delinquency in our country. But we can never give up on our children, never give up on the youth, as they are our future. They represent the future of this beautiful Bahama land. And we look at censuses. The Bahamas census shows that the conditions are continuing to get worse. There are fewer and fewer legal marriages. There's an increase in legal separations. When we look at U.S. statistics, 63% of teen suicides and 85% of children diagnosed with behavioral disorders come from fatherless homes. 70% of teenage pregnancies, the young lady was raised in a fatherless home. The effect is profound and lasting, and it's putting a knife in the core of our society, and I don't know how we're going to stop this wound and the degradation of our society as a whole, and our future is frightening.
Well, one of the ways that I thought of, at one time we used to have what was called a national parenting program. And many of the church had these programs where young mothers could go through this session of learning how to be a good mother. Maybe we need something like that on a national scale to teach young mothers how to be what I call good mothers. You know, and as a society, maybe we may have to look at policies that allow parents to spend more time with their children rather than having to worry about work.
I mean, the vast majority of families in this country, it's the mother who is the head of household. It's the mother who's the primary caregiver. It's the mother who's raising these children. And there are very few fathers who play a role, even within the house themselves. They're usually absent. And our children are losing out. And it's not just the men, it's the boys. The young men grow up with anger, unresolved issues because they never had that father figure. Women are also to blame as well. A lot of these women, a lot of Bahamian women are sadly, and we can't debate this, are very angry, are very bitter. And they take that out on their sons many times. So they'll remark, all men are no good. Never trust them. Never give your heart to a man. That's what they'll tell their daughters. They'll tell the sons, you are useless, just like your young just like your father. You're never going to be anything in life. You'll never be a decent man. And we children, we learn by example. We know, we learn to tolerate things by what we are accustomed to. So if you see that your mother is having a boyfriend that's physically abusing her, emotionally abusing her, you're more likely to, if you're as a woman, tolerate that in your adulthood, or as a man, become abuser yourself. Good evening, this is Urologist Speaks. We have a caller coming in.
Hi, good afternoon to both of you.
Good afternoon.
Dr. P.
Very, very good topic. Thanks. In my career, I started over 40 years ago. Dealing with men. And I am so elated with this conversation as to what's going on. And I am not the expert, but dealing with men, having these conversations just this morning, I am of the belief, in my view, being spiritually connected, I'm well over 70, the five beautiful grand. I am of the belief that this is a conspiracy. And one meaning that this conspiracy, a gender war, was created. And I know enough to know that my father and my mother, being married, they cultivate each other. That's what I see. As a boy, my uncle, I had two uncles who were pastors, and there was a mutual respect where the village participate in rearing the child or the community. That is gone. I see now a spirit of entitlement and competing. Yes, my two girls and I have, the women are more advanced than the boys. But sometimes I ask, who born these boys? And sometimes the choice that make in the relationship, that the women would be more academic, the man they choose to have children with, I am confused. I am confused. He got to be a tug, bearing in the left nose, pants drop down to his knees, and they see nothing wrong with that. So I conclude this have to be a conspiracy. My mother was told by my mother when she meet my father, or when my father put her eyes on her, she went, she lose a parent early, last child. Now she's 92, the only siblings that lived. She went and she called her older brother, say, this man is looking at me. The next day, my uncle were there. He questioned my father, what do you want? Why are you looking at my sister? And my father had to put up, measure up, or shut up. Today, everything is loose like a goose. But who born these poorly socialized boys? And they know the man is not up to the measure to be a father. I just can't understand this. That's why I am confused that there is no message like yesteryear coming from social service. Nowhere in this country you could find a suitable message as to who is the family and what the family structure is all about. I think this is a conspiracy. Thanks for entertaining me. Thanks for listening. And I love this topic that you all have tonight.
Well, thank you very much for your insightful words. And you provoked a lot of thought. We are all frustrated and we're all concerned. Fatherless kids are 20 times more likely to be incarcerated. That's from U.S. statistics. Fatherless children are 11 times more likely to exhibit violent behavior than children from two-parent households. Young girls with a father in their life are more likely to have self-esteem issues. Not to have a father in their life is more likely to have self-esteem issues and to suffer from depression and anxiety. So just looking at the alarming statistics, 62%, and I think that's underestimated, of our children are growing up in a, and it's almost in every case, a home with only a mother. And we look worldwide, the statistic is 7%. And we look at other countries. Why is the rate 4% in India and 62% in the Bahamas? What's the difference between they have spirituality, they believe in God, we supposedly believe in God. Why is there such a high rate of criminality, lawlessness, teenage pregnancy, delinquency, alcoholism? And we look at India, who don't have our resources, don't have our economy, and they have, socially, they're doing better than us. Educationally, on the whole, they're doing better than us. And in terms of the fabric of the family and the society, they're doing better than us. Why is that? Where have we lost our way? We can't blame slavery. I mean, we can't blame racism. We're not in the United States. And we look at the 1950s and 1960s, where did the family and the nuclear family fall off in the United States? We can tie it to a lot of studies that looked at welfare, where it was taught that you can rely on the government, you don't have to have a man in your life. You were encouraged not to get married. That was a turning point in the lives of African Americans in terms of a nuclear family. But what happened in our society? Obviously, we had issues with drugs in the late 1970s, crack cocaine epidemic in the 1980s. We have issues with immigration and them and then persons who were coming in to our society with different ideals. But there are too many Bahamians through and through. We can't blame everything on immigration. Who are, and it's too common. I'll give scenarios. A woman will say, oh yeah, I have 8 grandchildren and possibly another 12, but I don't really count them. And they'll say that with a smile on their face and a laughing gesture. How can a woman know that their blood is out there, that their children have a child out there that doesn't know them, doesn't know their family, doesn't know their legacy? Where are we going as a nation? And then they'll be the first one in the front pew in the church, but they're abandoning their own grandchild.
My good child.
So you'll accept some children, but you won't accept others. So what is the self-esteem of that child who's abandoned by their grandmother, who's abandoned by their father, who's abandoned by the extended family of their father?
See, well, you know, Doctor, go in with that. The family is where we find And we find love, we find forgiveness, we learn, and most of the experiences of life that we give come from the family. That's the fabric of the life. And then I want to put another twist to this, and I just wrote down the word, because I see, to me, all these things are interconnected. Alcohol, drugs, that is connected to the family. For example, I was listening to a show the other night now where the government is really cracking down on liquor stores. I thought that was a marvelous step that the government is doing, because we have so many of our young boys, they go to school drunk.
Yes.
They go to school drunk.
Far too common.
Yes. They have to have a drink, either a beer or some type of, they go to school drunk. I know that for a fact.
And what's that doing for their future? Obviously, education is out the window. How many brain cells are they losing when their minds are developing and they're drunk out of their mind? And they're trying to find solace. They're trying to find comfort. They're trying to treat their own pain, their own post-traumatic stress disorder. They're trying to fill the hole in their heart and their soul from not having a father, not having a grandfather, not having a family unit to support them. And we have, it goes in so many different ways. We have far too a materialistic society. It's very common that the marriage rate is falling. Women are getting married at an older and older age. They're having children at an older and older age. And for many women, and I've seen it, I'm middle aged, I've been here through the decades, and I've seen it personally or even casually. Many women who have, you would think, have everything going for them. Intelligence, education, good family, and why they would go and date a drug dealer or someone on bail for murder. I don't know, the excitement of being in a life with someone who's on the fringe of society. And they'll do that, and they may have a child with that young man when she's 22, and then she'll meet the wrong man again, and she'll have an affair with a married man and have a child in secret at 26. And then when it rolls around to 35 and 36, then they start to say, where are all the good men? How can I not find a professional man to get married to? But when men were approaching them who were decent and trying to improve their life and get somewhere in life, they didn't want them. They wanted that man with that money. No matter how that money came about, they want the money right now and right then. They want the jewelry one. They want the flash car. They want the apartment paid for. They want the clothing allowance, et cetera, et cetera. Then they realize when they're more mature that the materialism really means nothing. You need to have a soulmate. You need to have someone who embraces you and loves you through thick and thin and riches and poverty, who'll always be there for you. And that means more than all the riches in the world. My grandfather used to say, what does it... If you are going to lose your own begotten soul and you gain the world, what have you gained? Yeah. What have you gained? We come into this world naked. We leave this world in the naked. No matter how wealthy you are, no matter how high on the echelon of the political ladder you are, we all go and before God, and we all have to answer for every action that we had in our life. So we're never above anything. We'll always come to Judgment Day. So,
well,
our actions mean something. They affect our family. They affect our parents. They affect our grandparents. They affect our society.
Well, people seem to think that, you know, it is called what they call collective responsibility. You're not living in a vacuum. And so the thing that what you do over here may not affect something over there. Doesn't happen like that. Doesn't happen in it's a collective. But what I was, the quality of a country's social and political life is measured about how it enables families to live and to have time for themselves and to cultivate the bonds that that unite them. The quality of a country's life to live, to be able to sit down on the back patio and to have a cocktail or a drink or just to relax and not have to worry about somebody's broken into your home or somebody's going to rob you. These days, you can't even sit. If you're sitting outside, mentally you are concerned if your safety will be compromised. You're thinking about it. You're not comfortable sitting on your own back patio and enjoying it as you should, because you're wondering if somebody's coming to rob you or if something's going to happen.
Someone told me something interesting this week. They said 40 years ago they used to enjoy going to Clifton Pier, 4 o'clock in the morning, throwing out their fishing line, going fishing. They said they wouldn't go to Clifton Pier at 4 p.m. in the afternoon for fear of being robbed or held up. We always talk about being active, Bahamas, exercise, walking, jogging. How many people are afraid to go out to R. M. Bailey Park or go walk on the streets at 6 in the morning or 5 in the morning because they know some wayward youths are going to come up with a gun and either kidnap them and try to take them to an ATM or try to rob them? It's just not worth it. It's not worth it. We're unhealthy in so many ways, and crime is destroying us in every way, even emotionally. How many fathers or mothers don't have a good night's sleep because they're afraid every time they hear a noise that someone's trying to break into their home, particularly if they've been robbed before? It's like we're a nation in crisis. We're under siege. It's a war out there. It's a war out there, and we're the ones who are battened down with the barbed wire fences trying to protect ourselves, with the guard dogs, with the chain link fences, with the bars in our window. And it's the criminals who are running our society. It's the criminals that, even when they're caught, they'll have the money from their illegal crimes that'll pay for a high-priced lawyer to get them off. We have a call coming in. Good evening. This is Urologist Speaks.
Good evening, Dr. Pinto.
Good evening. And Mr. Calvin Green.
Good evening to Calvin Green. Calvin?
Good evening, sir. Good evening. Good evening.
How you do? This is Dennis from Batania Fund Desk.
Okay, Dennis. Wonderful.
You used to work at Batania, right?
Yes, I did spend some years there. You're absolutely correct. Yes.
Yeah, because my mother used to be in a restaurant with Burge Lana's sister.
Yes, you're absolutely correct. I know who you're talking about, yes.
Yeah, I remember the fund desk. Yeah, Dennis from the fund desk, Donna Hamilton and Michael Folks and all of us, and the fund desk changed to the new desk with the computers.
Yes.
How you doing?
Wonderful.
But I wanted to say, Dr. Pinto, your question about society and what is bring about the change. When you look at it, migration is a serious thing because we are a very small nation. And if you look at societies such as China and India, the two most populous nations, the difference in their population as of the census last year was only like 4 million. China has 1,419,000+ and India has 1,415,000+ people. You know, they were not really ever penetrated from back in the day. And yes, they were brought up by families, and being strong like that, remember the Bahamas here, as you know, I have traced my roots back to slavery and to the loyalist Charles Farquharson being my great-great-great-great-grandfather. So on two tracks, the plantation owner and the slave part of it within this country, and, you know, my mother coming from San Salvador, and most of our heritage came from the outer islands, and people came to Nassau because of economics and when you look at it, that was going on in the country. People come in here because, remember, we were called Lucaya because of the Lucayan and the Arawaks, right?
Yes.
And with slavery and what happened with on most of the plantations, you would have the house slave and the field slave treated preferably better than the other ones. And now, in today's society, we have this serious migration of, from then to now, people come, they move to Nassau, they move and then they're going on the contract to the U.S. and we invite a whole lot of different racial, nationalities and country build up. So if you really give it some concentration as to some racism or some cultural infusion in it, we have these differences because everybody, basically on their hustle and struggle on their 9 to 5 or whatever. Because back in the day, as we grew up in Yarralla, and these other societies, after people moved from uptown and into these subdivisions, we looked out for each other. Like you and me just said to Calvin, my mom worked with, they looked out for each other, they got together and walked together and caught the bus together and walked to catch the Union bus all the way out there by Wolf Road by Stephen Dillett to go over Paris Island to work. And, we have, as a family, sometimes I had to, my mother get off and they get up at 11 o'clock at night to steal my brothers and sisters' car coming out of high school. You don't even go pick them on me. Anyway, I steal the keys and all they have in the car stop and I go on. So as a family, we look out for each other in the community. But today, look at it. We got people used to have their little boxer or dancer or, competition on the sporting arenas. And we had boys' brigade and all that sort of stuff and the church band and all that. And it's a difference. So we have to give that some consideration, Doc. But
Dennis, you think you could blame some of this on migration? You think some of this is what we're experiencing, what we're going through? You think a lot of it or some of it is connected to that?
Well, what I'm saying is when you have like different people move into different areas next door, you don't know who they are, and then they, some of them blend, some of them don't, and then, in reference to, some people will denigrate some people, and then they just don't look out because, people like us, I was used to, hopping the wall and falling asleep in the neighbor's house, and, and all that sort of stuff, you didn't have to worry because mommy didn't go to work, and you didn't have this, we share everything, but, that sort of came from the family structure from the outer island and came here to Nassau when everybody moved because, all of the, lodge halls and stuff when they came from the outer islands and they, have lodge halls and, the social society, community society, they bring it in, but how much of that has dissipated? Or disappeared, but then you bring in, the foreigners, and not that, it shouldn't have happened, but especially how it's happening now, in a way that is unabated, that, these things add to it because you got what they'll say. So, you have, and we, sometimes people look at it putting the blame on the brothers from the South. On the island of Hispaniola, you have two demographics there. Two nations from there, but one side catching the blame and not so much the other side because it's split in two. But, now we have to look out for what happened with those from Jamaica. The people come from Jamaica, they come with talent most of the time, and now, because of this weather the other day, this storm, we have to sort of have to look out and try and lend a helping hand to them. Then you have those that come from, say, Cuba and South America and all those other countries. And it's the change in it, but people and everybody just want also because we have to concentrate too, because as we know, our dollar has always been strong and kept on par with America. So that's why we have all this infusion of this. So, you know, we have to, you know, because, you know, I practice, you know, but Calvin, you would know, I went off to college and then came back and my kids, you know, I dropped them off, drop them to school, pick them up. If I have to, they got to stay with me until later. And, you know, and we do that sort of stuff and look out for them. You know, they ride with me, go with me, do research with me. And these sort of things we do as responsible parents. So, you know.
Many interesting points, sir. But let me ask you a question. Can we blame migration for the criminality in our society, for the teenage pregnancies, for the alcoholism, for the abuse of so many women by men, for the way that we have as the norm middle-aged men going out with teenage girls? I mean, we can't blame migration for that. We have to look within ourselves. We're looking for a scapegoat.
Like I said, I did a lot of research with my family, and I can tell you I'm like the historian for my family, right? And when you look back, these things penetrated our families from even coming off the plantation because how slaves were treated from the masters and the, not most of the time, some of the plantation owners didn't even come to the Bahamas, you know. Some of the wounded, they were still in Europe. Some of them never came, you know, never used to be here. The overseers and those in authority over the field class. And what happened, you know, because if you check the, if you do research, you will check that they had the whites, they had the Negroes, and then they had coloreds, which are, you know, the, when you check, if you do your research, the colors were the ones that were mixed. They call them colored.
I'll make this point, though, sir. Sorry to interrupt. We're going all the way back to slavery, but let's look at the golden years of the family in this country, the 50s, the 60s, or even the early 70s. Why didn't slavery affect those decades? Why did we have a strong family unit then? Why did we have an extended family? Why did we have neighborhoods who raised children together as a unit?
We are a product of that. Us, we came from families that migrated here. Our parents came here, and it was okay. Let's look at you talking about the time the switch over from the UBP to the PLP. We were still going through that phase. Everything was, and like I said, you know, I born in 64, so. And I know. So we still looked out for each other. You know, you look out for your little brother, you walk them to school, whatever, but here it is. Everybody knew each other. And I used to walk from sixth grade from Yellow Valley to Bohemian Lumber and Wolf Road in the summer job. You see what I'm saying?
Yes.
I'm working, getting money, and helping my mother buy all my school uniform when I started seventh grade. You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So, but nowadays, it's like looking out, but society has changed so much. And we did not, you know, we looked at either competing, playing, football playing, sports, or looking up to people like that. And, it, you know, and then television came in and ZNS and all that sort of stuff was the transition. But we have to look out, too, that when we were left at home, we looked out for each other, but when you got these different demographics or, you know, I'm not blaming it solely on immigration, but it has a lot to do with it because back in those days, we weren't as discriminating or, you know, we weren't competing and then the language barrier or whatever it might be. And then most of the time, many people look to survive. They come from Africa, they come from wherever, they come from South America, they come here, this is a melting pot here, and it's happening, you go down right now in the clubs, and everything. So it's about making that dollar, and we have to accept it for what it is, and the government has to understand that it is real. You see what I'm saying? So.
Well, I thank you. I thank you for you made a lot of interesting points and a lot of points that spark a lot of debate. I see your point of view. There's no right or wrong, and I think there's an amalgamation of many things that have come to this point where we're peering over a cliff and viewing disaster. But I would say that what are we doing? If we have a typical Bahamian man and his wife have four children, what are those four children doing? If you have all four of them being good citizens, all four of them showing respect for the family, respect for the country, respect for the community, loving God, going out and endeavoring and sacrificing and getting an education to try to enrich the Bahamas and improve the Bahamas. We always say that our parents, what they accomplish in life, their ceiling becomes the floor for the next generation. We don't have enough in the way of legacy. We're going from one generation of struggling to another generation of struggling, and in many cases, the next generation is actually worse off than the one before. But why are we not having more accountability for our own actions? It's too much in the way of blaming immigration. Yes, immigration is a glaring problem, but there are so many things that we as Bahamians are doing wrong. We'll talk more about this interesting talk on the other end of the break. This is Urologist Speaks.
Boy, why you look so mashed up, like clothes at the washer?
No, boy, just a hard day, boy.
Hard day? What happened? The breakfast lady ran out of tuna and gritsy.
We need to start joking about everything, you know. This serious, boy. This real serious, boy.
Boy, what's serious? Tell me.
All right, well, today, boss gave his boy one big, big contract. And nobody else get a chance and nobody say nothing.
Boy, you know that ain't right. You know government contracts ain't supposed to go that way.
Yeah, but nobody saying nothing. Boss man just tell people to sign the papers. Then he sent me to meet his boy downtown and collect this envelope.
You need to tell somebody. You need to become a whistleblower.
You know I was a real man, but I never blow no whistle. I be drunk all my life in Junkano.
No, boy. A whistleblower is someone who tells people what they see when they see something wrong happening at work.
But I ain't no whistleblower, and I ain't no snitch. I still wait there, you know.
But ain't nobody gonna know it's you. All you gotta do is call Crime Stoppers, or you could text them from inside the Crock Crime Bahamas app. They don't ask about you, and your call goes straight through to Miami, so nobody know who you is. And if you text, your message get mixed up like Kong Salad.
Call 328-8477 from Nassau, or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands.
Hold on, sweetie. Mommy's sending a text. But Mommy, my teacher said that you're not supposed to text and drive.
I know what I'm doing.
Oh, look, Mommy, the Smith twins. Mommy, watch out!
In 2017, approximately 54 people died as a result of traffic accidents. A percentage of these fatalities occurred as a result of texting while driving. Just taking your eyes off the road for 5 seconds can increase your chance of crashing. Remember, even the smallest voice counts.
Texan,
brought to you by UB Radio and Guardian Radio 96.9.
Always on the go? Missed the show? You can now listen to Guardian Radio talk shows anytime, anywhere on Spotify and YouTube by searching Guardian Radio 96.9 FM or by entering the name of your favorite show. You can also listen by logging on to guardiantalkradio.com and clicking on the podcast tab. Guardian Radio, continuing to provide you with fresh news and smart talk anywhere, anytime, all day.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Welcome back. This is Urologist Speaks with BM Urologist Dr. Gregory Pinto, and I'm pleasure to have in as my co-host Mr. Calvin Green, who is a youth leader, a church leader, and a veteran of the tourism industry. We're talking about the crisis of a fatherless nation, the failure and the disappearance of the nuclear family. We're going to branch out a little bit and talk about the breakdown of our society. So we're going to talk about child abuse. We're going to talk about emotional abuse, physical abuse, sexual abuse. Can you start us off, Mr. Green?
You know, I want to start off, and even though these figures may be a little old, but nevertheless, they're from the Ministry of Social Services and Urban Development. And some of these figures are around 2022. And what I want to talk about with those cases, just to give you an idea, and this is now 2025. These are 2021, 2022. We had 562 cases of physical abuse, 600 cases of sexual abuse, 1,070 cases of neglect, 53 cases of abandonment, 96 cases of incest, 30 cases of verbal abuse, and 31 cases of emotional abuse.
And that's definitely the tip of the iceberg, because so many cases, unfortunately, are never reported,
yeah.
Never investigated, even out of fear, or because they don't want to see, they want to create the illusion that their family is perfect. Women are afraid of losing their source of income. Then they allow horrible things to happen to their children in the name of the almighty dollar. We have a call coming in. Good evening. This is Urologist Speaks.
Yeah, good afternoon, Mr. Pinto.
Good evening.
Good afternoon to your guests.
Good afternoon. Good afternoon, sir.
Yeah, I tried my best way back from 2003 to show the direct correlation to absentee fathers and the blood and the carnage that you see on our streets. But successive leaders, politicians, government, they ignored the situation, and hence they brought the Child Protection Act, which I wouldn't even use it to protect dogs the way it is written in this present state. But that's what we have. But J. Barry Farrington, who was co-chair or chair of the task force of education, he stated in their report, and I quote, "While the single mother household may have been the bedrock of our society in the 50s and 60s, and this was from way back in 2005, they stated that today it posed a significant risk." So you're right, Dr. Pinto, when you talk about the 50s and 60s, those three as family together. But those horrific numbers that you shared, I can go even deeper and talk about the 4,900 and change children who would have given birth between the ages of 15 and 19. And the numbers get even more horrifying when you look at 10 to 14. It's worse. But then in the United States, old statistics, they state that 80% of all prison inmates were abused as a child. This is where we are. You see the wider situation. We've been averaging over 450 reported cases of all forms of child abuse for the past 23 years of my advocacy.
I do remember a study coming out of Fox Hill that found that almost 90% of the male inmates and those who were on remand had either been physically or sexually abused. So it's overwhelming, and the correlation is startling and
direct
found.
Correlation.
And we're not protecting our children. We're not protecting our children.
See, children can't vote, Mr. Pinto. You have to accept. Children cannot vote. So they don't give a... They could care less about children. The only time you see them picking up children and lifting them up is around these political rallies when they're going door-to-door and stuff like that. But they could care less. And then, you know, when you look, I'd reach out to the now Minister of Education. And I asked her, I said, you know, don't get rid of the COVID ambassadors. I said, why not use them as two NC officers and crossing guards. She bought into it. We have two NC officers now. But today, it was only basically for facade, so to speak, because right now they are short-staffed, they are undermanned, they don't have the type of, not even in uniform. But the last time you saw a true NC officer, Mr. Pinto?
I don't think I've ever seen one.
But we're supposed to have them in every school. They don't exist. Doris Johnson, if you check the truancy rate and the absentee rate at Doris Johnson, it would become horrifying. All throughout the Bahamas, children are not attending school.
And then we look at it at another level. How many of them are physically attending schools, but mentally they're checked out? They're only there because they're physically are forced to be there, but they don't seize that opportunity for an education to better themselves. And that's...
Mr. Pinto, I was saying that the situation was just a mistake or it's an oversight. But what you see here happening in this small country called the Bahamas, it's a deliberate and intentional extermination of a particular race, meaning the black race. Everyone who killing up one another look like me. I'm a black man. Everyone who killing up one another, the perpetrator and the victims, they all look like me. And you're trying to tell me now that we can't recalibrate and have a serious discussion on addressing the legislation, the outdated social policies, and the bad laws that is creating all of this mayhem in our society?
Well, I it's interesting that you bring that point up. And I always thought about that myself. Why do we self-inflict ourselves? But I want to ask you a question, the other day about what is your opinion of the mindset of that little baby that was found the other day in the bushes? I mean, what do you think happened there?
You know, Mr. Pinto, child abandonment is serious business in the Bahamas, but I know what happened, but what makes it's obvious the person didn't want that child. I don't know whether it's an illegal immigrant. I don't know whether it's an immigrant who married or who would have gotten pregnant and can't carry the baby home. I don't know the circumstances surrounding why the baby ended up in the bush, but it shouldn't have ended up in the bush. But then what about the pregnant woman who lost, who got murdered and the unborn fetus life was interrupted? According to our laws, that fetus doesn't count. How mad could we be? We are mixed right up.
I agree wholeheartedly.
Right up. But then, the science, Dr. Mr. Pinto, after 4 weeks, that's the life. See, I don't get into the different stages of where the child is at. These smart scientists, they try to describe it as not a human being, whether it's 3 weeks or 4 weeks or 5 weeks. But I'll say to you two scientists in there, a caterpillar is still a butterfly if you allow it to fully develop.
A tadpole
is still a frog if you allow it to develop. Likewise with that fetus. It's a young, bouncing baby if you allow it to develop. But none can deny that it is not, that it wasn't a life. That's the key component that they can't argue with me with. It's a life. Yeah. But the politician, the pastors, the clergy, women who are in politics, they're not even alarmed. They're not even there. Like, they are basically, they have become now immune to these heinous acts. Let's just look at the news the other day. This gentleman was charged for sodomizing his 7-year-old. And we're not having one conclave that's going on in this Bahamas. You got to be, this is intentional. This is a deliberate extermination. Anyone can't tell me it's not deliberate.
We look at the future, and I'll even look at it from a different angle. There are so many women who are doing wonderful things, who are educating themselves. They'll make wonderful mothers. They'll make wonderful wives. And I know them as friends. I know them as colleagues. They'll go into their 30s, their early 40s, and then they give up. They'll always say, there aren't any good men in this country. So if they can't find a good man to make a good family, how are we going to have a good society and a good future?
Yeah, but some men are arguing that there are not enough good women in the
world. I agree that as well. So, and a lot of these women who claim they're good when they're reaching, they're losing their fertility, were not good at all when they were younger. So you need to be good through and through.
we in the Fort Myers. We mix straight up. This what you see here, because it never happened under the UBP or our colonial masters. This country is basically safe, but we are out of control.
And then not only that, when we do have our bright gems and our golden sparks and the flames that are going to lead us into the future, they always talk about brain drain. 80-90% of the best and the brightest of our country are leaving and never coming back. So yeah. Where's our future going?
I did my part in terms of my daughter finished university at age 20. So I looked at it as, when I was raising, I looked at it as the first 20 years. And by the time she turned 20, I would say that she should have had 2 degrees, which she did. So I did my part. But then we don't take parenting seriously enough. Parenting, Mr. Pinto, is so indelible. It not only affects the child that you're raising, it affects 2 generations after. That's how indelible parenting is. But we don't give 1 cent about parenting in the Bahamas. And then when you look at the makeup of who we are sending to Parliament, it leaves much to be desired. But hopefully, you have a mic in your hand, you all can advocate, and see if we can get some political large debate so we could discuss these issues and move away from all these foolish, drunken rallies that they have, you know, that they audition on for us to vote for them. It's just embarrassing for me.
Okay. Yeah, you made a lot of brilliant points. Thank you again for your call again this week. I don't know what the solution for all our multiple problems are. I don't know where we're going to start, but we need to start somewhere. We can't give up hope. Even if we can get 1 person to make a difference, it can be a ripple effect. There are enough good people in this country. There are enough intelligent people in this country, enough people who know we're going down the wrong road, and not enough people who have ideas to get us onto the right road. And we just need to come together and unite and look for a brighter tomorrow.
Doc, I want to give them, this is very interesting, and a couple of statistics again. 10% of children, only 10% of children are abused by strangers. 10%.
As I say, the enemy is within us.
Yeah,
it's not the migration.
Yeah.
Migration is a problem. Enemy is within us. We're destroying our own family within the home.
Yeah. 30% of children are abused by family, while 60% are abused by others they know and trust. And approximately 90% are abused. Yes, that's 60% abused by people they know and trust. Only 10% are abused by strangers.
And they're people who never get over that abuse.
Yeah, right? Fewer than 5% of children allegations are intentionally false. So normally when a child tells you something, you could believe them. They're telling you the truth.
We need to create a safer society for our children. We need to protect our children. We turned a blind eye to abuse for decades now. It's become too much of the norm and the accepted in our culture that it's basically statutory rape when you have 70-year-old men going out with 15-year-old girls. And many of them are still in their school uniform. And these retired men are taking them out and buying them buying clothes and taking them out to restaurants and parading them around, making them feel like they're eye candy and et cetera, et cetera. And it's, in so many times, it's the support of the mother, it's the support of the aunt, support of the grandmother, because that individual is bringing money into the home. Yeah. Stop pimping your own daughter out and we'll have a better society. I'd rather, if I were a mother or a father, I'd rather go to sleep hungry than to give up the virtuosity and the sanctity of my own child. I'd rather die than see that given up. But too many of us do not value our children. We do not value the sanctity of our children. Do not value the future of our children. There are too many who are just struggling and trying to make it day to day, and they don't see a brighter tomorrow. They don't even see. They don't even look for tomorrow. They're living for today, and whatever they have to do, if they have to turn a blind eye to injustice, they're going to do it. And our country cannot continue to survive if we continue to do that. Any last words, Mr. Calvin Green?
No, the last words I would say is that the parents, they need to be more vigilant. Parents and adults are protectors of children. It is your role to protect your children, to keep an eye on them, to keep your eyes and your ears open, and to, if you see anything wrong, to report it to the appropriate authorities.
Our children are our future. Yeah. We need to invest in our future. We need to protect our children. We need to unite our community, and that starts by uniting the family. Let's do better, Bahamas. We'll talk again on the other end of the week. Have a safe week, Bahamas. This is Urologist Speaks with Dr. Gregory Pinto and my co-host, Mr. Calvin Green. Good night.
Thank you, Doc. Thank you very much.
It's time to take control. Get some help from the urologist.
You will find
he'll help you solve your problems.
It's fine.
I'm telling you, with early detection
comes early prevention.
Put lead in your pencil, make you feel like a champion.
Rise up again.
Let nothing keep you down.
Live your best.
The urologist.